Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Our Falling Into Place series spotlights the important work of and fosters collaboration between not-for-profit organizations in our communities, allowing us all to fall into place. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, see more progress. Today we learn about Operation SNP, an organization that focuses on TNR. What is that? Well, that is Trap, Neuter, Return. And that's for community cats, otherwise known as feral cats, which live in alleys and vacant buildings throughout our region. Lynn Kopka is the founder of Operation SNP, and she joins us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
I'm going to sneeze, and I don't have an allergic reaction to cats, so I don't know why.
Perhaps
I'm sneezing, but not at all. Well, good morning, and thank you very much for being with us. When I say that you are the founder, how did you come to found such an organization?
I've been involved with community cats for about 20 years, and I think you're going to find that most of us involved in it have a very long history. And it gets to the point where you just can't function on your own. You really need a team. You need a network. And you just figure out, okay, what do I do? How do I do it? And you set up the organization, you get your volunteers, and you go.
Is community cat versus feral cat, of calling them that, is there a political correctness to that term? Or a preference that you have for a reason?
Yes. Feral has somewhat of a bad connotation. You know, these wild animals destroying things, just not behaving properly. Whereas community cats, it's like, oh, they are part of my community. They need to be addressed. They're good in some cases, and we need to just look at them as part of our neighborhood.
When we think of that neighborhood, do we have more of a problem with these community cats? Do we have more of a problem in our urban areas than we do in our more rural areas, or is this a problem that really affects...
No, it's a widespread problem. It's probably more noticeable in compact areas where you see, if you go down an alley in Troy or Albany, Schenectady, you're going to see them scurrying from one vacant carriage house garage to another. Whereas in urban areas, they're going to be tucked away in barns, hiding in, wooded areas. So they're less visible, but they are there.
I want to get to what you do in a moment, but first I want a definition of these community and feral cats, of exactly how you define them. So what constitutes a community cat?
A community cat is a cat that is unowned. It may be feral. It also may be friendly, having been turned out into the streets through foreclosure, eviction, or I just can no longer afford my pet. So it's those that are really unowned, to some degree unwanted, but they're out there and they're just roaming wild.
This is going to go back to an earlier my question beforehand about urban and versus rural areas. But in rural areas, we often see where the mother cat has however many kittens, and they're barn cats. And then all of a sudden you have like 10 cats. And now they're, I guess technically they live there, they're owned, but they're not really cared for. You know, they're just sort
Correct.
Of there. So are they still considered community or?
We would look at them that way. We've done barns where we've trapped every cat in a barn, and the last one we did was 50. And all 50 of those were spayed, neutered, they had their shots, and they were returned to the barn. So the population was under control, there was no more reproduction, fighting was minimized, spraying was minimized, and you had a healthier group.
Okay, so that idea of TNR, trap, neuter, return. Let's take it one by one. So the trapping is
where you set up a have a heart trap,
right?
Or traps, depending on the size of the group. The animal is caught, and then it's taken to a clinic for spay, neuter, shots. Sometimes we test for feline leukemia or AIDS, depending on the general overall health of a group, and then return. We bring them back after their recovery period to where they came from.
Why is that important, the return versus having them go to another home, or is that a very difficult transition?
It's a difficult transition. If they are friendly, then we do take every effort to get them placed into appropriate homes. If they are feral, not really approachable, not something that is going to adapt well to being a pet, then they need to return to where they came from. If you take them someplace else, they will try to return. Mm. You can relocate them, but it involves kenneling them at their new home for 2 weeks so they realize, oh, this is my home. There's someone to feed me, there's someone to care for me, but I'm still outside.
Once the TNR has been completed, then they are better for the community, right? There's less of a concern.
Right. Yes, because they're no longer reproducing.
Right.
You have a manageable group of cats. And normally when we go into a situation like this, it's because someone calls us. They've started feeding, realized, oh, it's out of control. What do I do now? Then we go in, get shelters set up if they need them, feeding stations, help the people minding the colony, give them the appropriate instructions on what to do to maintain the health of that, the cleanliness and the safety.
You work so much with volunteers, and that's really your backbone.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about that volunteer structure and how it works.
We need volunteers for everything: transport, trapping, feeding, setting up stations, building the shelters, educating people on what to do when you see these situations. And people are phenomenally dedicated. It's unbelievable. In our operation, we do not provide any funds for, say, transportation. So our driver heads up to a clinic once a week. She's back and forth twice a day. She gets no funds for gas, but she's happy to do the transport. So it's a very labor-intense operation, but it's totally done with volunteers who are just more than pleased to help.
Do you have a number or a number that you play with of how many cats that you deal with in a calendar year?
Certainly more than 500. It's probably around that level. But that includes...
It's a lot of cats.
It's a lot of cats, but you would be surprised where we get calls from. I mean, we're getting calls from Albany, Schenectady, Waterville. We worked with the mayor of Green Island. We've been out to Steventown. We've been as far south as Columbia County. There's not a lot of groups that concentrate on TNR.
Operation SNP has quite the network of organizations that you work with as well. You're very tied into the community of other organizations that help animals.
That's correct. Everybody has a different area of expertise. We work with the Mohawk Hudson Humane Society. We work with Scruff, which is totally just TNR for community cats. We work with Noah's Kingdom for help with placement. Whiskers, Cat Care Coalition. Agway helps us with placement. Pet Supplies Plus helps us with getting food donations. Troy Animal Control helps us identify hotspots where we need to go. And then we work with many others, too.
I know the, barring this from becoming a birds and the bees type question, but so how does a hotspot become a hotspot typically? I mean, if what is going wrong for an area or for a building or for an abandoned building to become a place that you have to be concerned about?
It usually starts out with one cat showing up in, say, a garage, a vacant building, under a porch, and the owner, neighbor, whatever, starts feeding. Well, all of a sudden, that cat has kittens. A male starts coming around. The kittens grow up. It just goes on and on.
Yeah.
We prefer to get the phone calls when the first cat shows up, not when the 25th cat shows up.
No, that's a great point. So I would think that would be the case. So how hard is that to get the call when the first cat shows up? Because people don't see it as a problem then, right?
That's correct. It's not until there's way too many of them and they're overwhelmed with feeding, keeping the area clean, then they decide to take action. If they take action when the kittens are little enough, we can get those kittens right out, place them, and all is good. Get the mom spayed, put her back. So the earlier intervention is much better.
What is the, this is a very general question, but I'm sure it varies all over. But generally, the health condition of these cats is
It varies by location. Mm-hmm. Some are really just picking in dumpsters. They're really susceptible to more disease because they're eating mice and birds. Others are really in great shape because somebody's feeding them. The water's clean. They have shelter. There's less, you know, there's less fighting, less other health issues. So the health depends. But in general, we find that it's a pretty sturdy population.
When the trap is out there, how often are they checked?
We have some trappers who will stay with a trap mm-hmm. and wait even hours for something to show up. We have others, as long as it's in a safe, secure place, we'll come back maybe 2 to 3 hours later, depending on the weather. We don't trap in super, super cold weather. And if we're doing in hot weather, we make sure that it's in the shade and that we are going back more frequently.
I don't quite know why I'm asking this, but how often do you get the wrong cat in the sense of, oh, look, we got a cat that we returned, for example?
That happens occasionally when we're going into a larger colony that's seeing new arrivals. But because their ears are clipped, one ear is, the tip is removed, we know it, we let it right out, and then just reset the trap. And usually a cat that's been trapped becomes trap shy, so we don't necessarily see them again. But then we've had others that we've caught 3 times, and you just want to say, hey, buddy, get with the program.
It's like the same fish getting caught over again,
like
catch and release.
Stuff, like, but, you know, maybe they want to eat in, you know, a confined space with a better meal. Who knows?
Once they're in the carriers and they go to the clinics, and you work with the clinics, I assume.
Yes.
And so the funds you need, I assume, is to pay for that.
Yes, that's correct. Yes, we are always scrambling for money. We have gotten grants from PetSmart, from a community cat group in New York City, the Fox Foundation, and I think those were our biggest ones. Mm-hmm. But we work closely with the clinics, mainly the more public ones like Mohawk Hudson Humane Society, to get the lowest prices possible. And we continue to just raise funds, seek donations. We've got a grant application pending now. If we get that, we'll leverage additional funds. So we scramble every day for appropriate funds.
If people want to find out more information about Operation SNP, there is a link that will be posted with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. Lynn Kopka is the founder of Operation SNP. I thank you very much for sharing the great work that you do and appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Great
we
pleasure.
Love to talk about the work that we do, and we'd love to have more people be involved.
As you should. Thank you very much. And again, we'll have links posted along with this interview on our website so you can get involved or at least find out more information. WAMC.org/roundtable. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities. See more promise. See more progress.